Technically speaking.
Welcome to our Technically Untechnical Technology Talk.
A Nywik Atlantic production.
Hello, I'm Chelsea, the Nywik Atlantic audiovisual specialist, social media manager, and I just found out that quantum technology is used to measure gravitational waves.
And I'm Alex, part of the media engagement team. And yeah, that's like Einstein and general relativity, right?
Oh yeah, general relativity, Einstein. You know, the more I look into quantum technology, the more impressed I am with our scientists and engineers here at Nywik Atlantic who know all of this stuff. And as you may have guessed, this episode will focus on quantum technology. Not just quantum computing, which is more well known, but technology in general.
Coming up, we've got an expert here to tell us all about what quantum technology is and how Nywik Atlantic is using it. Then we wrap up things with a military moment from an active duty Navy member who is part of the Nywik Atlantic Mission Assurance Team. Get comfy, turn up that volume, and let's get started.
So Alex, to me, quantum technology, it sounds very futuristic, almost out of a sci-fi movie. But that's probably because I'm not a physicist or an engineer. And quantum technology is that. It's a combination of physics and engineering.
Yes, I saw in the news recently that quantum computing can do work in a matter of minutes that would have normally taken days or weeks to complete. Chelsea, it all sounds unbelievable, but I'm excited to hear what it can do.
It does sound unbelievable. But luckily, we have a whole team at Nywik Atlantic here who are much more well-versed in quantum technology. And we recently sat down with Dr. Robert Younce, a Nywik Atlantic physicist, to explain this mysterious capability. Let's take a listen. So Dr. Younce, thank you so much for coming on and speaking with us. Can you kind of tell me what you do here at Nywik Atlantic?
Yes, I'm the Quantum Information Action Officer in the Science and Technology Department at Nywik Atlantic, and I'm a research physicist.
You sound very important, so thank you so much for taking some time out of your day. In the simplest way possible, can you explain what your definition of quantum technology is?
Sure. It's technologies that rely on foundational physics in quantum mechanics.
So how is quantum technology different from artificial intelligence?
So quantum computing uses qubits instead of binary bits to process information. And so this unique way of processing information allows you to create algorithms that speed up classical computing algorithms. Things like factoring prime numbers and things like that. It differs from artificial intelligence in that quantum computing is actually a hardware that you can use and program to speed up these different types of algorithms. And actually, you can employ artificial intelligence algorithms on quantum computers, and so they can work together in that way to speed up machine learning classifiers on quantum computing hardware instead of relying on these massive data centers to run these machine learning algorithms.
So they can be used in tandem to help modify and broaden the speed of how things are done.
Correct. So the goal with quantum computing is to get a quantum advantage or quantum speed up over classical hardware. So it doesn't take like a year or so to train these massive algorithms for ChatGPT or other things like that. So now that's years in the future, where in 5 to 10 years when the hardware starts to mature, and then you'll start to see more implications for commerce and an industry on trying to speed up machine learning and artificial intelligence algorithms on quantum computers.
Speed seems to be like a huge capability when it comes to quantum technology, especially in tandem with artificial intelligence, which is exciting. And you keep using the term qubits, and that's what
Qubit stands for quantum bit.
It's fast, right? What's the measurement of how fast it'd be? Like, what's the comparison?
So in specific, like problem, how about this? All right, if you had a massive quantum computer in like 10 years, then you could factor large prime numbers that are used in encryption keys in seconds instead of like a million or billion years, which is what it takes today to do it on a classical computer, supercomputer.
Wow. So yes, that is very fast. How is Nywik Atlantic using quantum technology to help the warfighter?
So I'll start off by saying that quantum information technology is really split into 3 or 4 different domains. It's actually a pretty broad research and development area. The first is quantum sensing. Second is quantum communications and networking. And the third is quantum computation. And so right now, a lot of the near-term applications for the warfighter are in the quantum sensing domain. So a lot of our work is geared towards creating different types of RF sensors, gravitational sensors, inertial sensors, to make new revolutionary technologies that are 10 to 100 times better than what it's used today.
And what do these sensors do for the warfighter? What does it help them find or accomplish?
So one of the projects we're working on is in quantum RF sensing using Rydberg atoms to measure electric fields. So a radio frequency wave is composed of an electric field and a magnetic field, and you can sense the electric field using a vapor cell of cesium atoms, cesium or rubidium atoms. And we call those Rydberg atoms.
So warfighters would be able to detect what with that ability?
So essentially, with just a vapor cell or glass cell of atoms, you can sense RF emissions. You can receive RF energy across the spectrum. So you can use it as any sort of classical antenna. You would just replace it with this quantum RF antenna.
So it helps them with communication?
It can help them with communications. It can help with a collection of signals in the battle space, all kinds of things that, you know, any sort of classical antenna could be replaced by this technology. And what it offers is that it's small, its size is fixed no matter where you are in the RF spectrum. And if you think about a radio tower, those are really tall, right? So you can get similar performance with something that, you know, fits in maybe a half rack of a computer equipment.
Could you say, using the analogy of like analog to digital, this is like a next evolution of like digital technology?
This would be a next evolution of the analog antenna technology. So instead of having metal wires or things like that, you would have lasers and atoms that are doing the RF sensing instead of a piece of metal. So it's the next evolution in analog RF sensing.
So is this technology widely used outside of the Navy or defense industry?
Right now, quantum technology is pretty limited in terms of its applications commercially. But the best example is atomic clocks. And now today in commercial systems, you can find these chip scale atomic clocks that use oscillations of rubidium atoms to measure time very precisely. And so that's used for communications, GPS, all sorts of things to provide very precise timing.
Dr. Younts, what is the coolest thing that you like about quantum technology? What gets you excited?
The prospects of measuring parameters below classical noise limits. So being able to take measurements more precise than are typically done, that enables you to sense or communicate in very complex environments.
And how did you get interested in this career? What fascinated you growing up to want to pursue something in quantum mechanics or engineering?
That's a fun question. So actually, I didn't really have a physics role model in high school. And so I was like, everybody does engineering and I don't want to do medicine. So let's see what this physics thing is about. And so my first semester, my professor was a researcher in optical physics and did things in quantum materials. And I really enjoyed his lab demo. And so I started working with him in my undergrad and continued to work with that same faculty member through my PhD. He was a great mentor for me. And now that there's all of this hype around quantum computing, there's a lot of interest from the government, industry, and academia. It's a very exciting time to be a quantum researcher.
What kind of advice would you give to someone who wants to work in this career, and what should they do while they're in school now to prepare to work for the government in the future or any other organization?
So quantum information science is very interdisciplinary. So I'd say you don't have to be a physicist to work in quantum computing or quantum sensing. There's actually a lot of work in computer and electrical engineering, mechanical engineering, computer science, and mathematics. So if you wanted to get involved, I would suggest looking at continuing education opportunities to see how to apply the things that you've learned in computer science, mathematics, and electrical and computer engineering into the quantum domain. Schools that offer certificates or maybe taking a summer internship or summer school. And really, we could use all the help we can get.
That's perfect. Yeah.
I have learned so much just from chatting with you. This is all over my head, but it's exciting to hear. It's exciting to see the amount of progress we are making in this technology, in this capability, that it's mind-blowing to me. So thank you for chatting and kind of explaining the best you could to us about some of these awesome capabilities.
You're welcome.
I'm glad Dr. Younce was able to come on and answer all of our burning questions about quantum technology.
I'm really impressed with how we're researching this capability and how it may be used by the Department of Defense. But I'm always impressed with NIWC Atlantic, so that's nothing new.
Same here. Now it's time to listen to another impressive individual from NIWC Atlantic, Information Technology Specialist First Class Everett Agrasalt. He shares the importance of his work within cybersecurity for the U.S. Navy.
So I'm a part of the mission assurance team. I work on risk management, continuity of operations, security and compliance, and performance monitoring.
What does that mean for those who have no idea what you just said?
I help the cybersecurity of our network locally at NIWC.
Wonderful.
How is that important in creating information warfare solutions?
So that improves our reliability, security, and resilience.
Can you kind of give me like a scenario, an example of what you're doing where your job comes into play?
So technology is always ever building, correct? And with that, threat actors are always improving on their ways of trying to infiltrate and get our information. What NIWC does is that we take all these new and upcoming technologies and we're kind of like a test bed in essence. And we provide complex solutions simplified for the warfighter.
So how long have you been in the Navy?
16 years.
That's a good amount of time. You liking it?
It's decent so far.
That's good.
And where do you see the future of the Navy technology? Where do you think it'll take us in the next 10 to 20 years?
So I would love to say we're going to have hovering aircraft carriers like in the Marvel movies, but I don't know. I think we're already top tier Navy. So let's just hope that we can keep our steadfast pace.
What is the significance for you? Why did you want to be part of the armed forces?
This is going to sound ridiculous, but I saw a Transformers movie when I was young, and I saw how these guys were using all these cool toys, and I decided that I wanted to join the armed forces and play with some cool toys. I didn't know what toys I'd be playing with, but I just knew that that was something that I was interested in.
Doesn't sound ridiculous. I think a lot of people have a similar story. Well, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Yep, thanks so much.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Petty Officer Agrasalt did a great job of explaining how NIWC Atlantic devotes a lot of work to testing capabilities and programs within cybersecurity in order to simplify complex solutions and deliver that to guys like him, the warfighter.
And you never know what will motivate people to join the Navy. That was really neat to hear that the technology and the Transformer movie was one thing that motivated him to enlist so he could be a part of that in the real world.
You really do never know. That's awesome. That movie was a good movie. I liked it.
It was really good.
As always, to learn more about anything we've mentioned in the podcast, check out our social medias under NAVWAR or our NIWC Atlantic website. The links are in the description.
That wraps up another exciting episode of Technically Speaking. Thanks for listening. If you have a tip or story that you think should be included in this podcast, please contact us at our public affairs email address, which is listed in the description.
Naval Information Warfare Center Atlantic, also known as NIWC, is the East Coast branch of the Naval Information Warfare Systems Command within the Department of the Navy. We develop a range of technologies that provide state-of-the-art capabilities to the United States military.